Today's big story, President Obama's morning announcement that he's nominating Judge Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. Garland is currently Chief Justice of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, and he called his nomination both the greatest honor of his life and the greatest gift.
Fidelity to the Constitution and the law has been the cornerstone of my professional life, and it's the hallmark of the kind of judge I have tried to be for the past 18 years. If the Senate sees fit to confirm me to the position for which I have been nominated today, I promise to continue on that course.
But on the Senate floor today, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell reiterated that the Senate does not intend to hold hearings on the nomination.
It seems clear that President Obama made this nomination not with the intent of seeing the nominee confirmed, but in order to politicize it for purposes of the election.
Emily Bazelon is a staff writer at the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School. She joins us now via Skype. And Emily, first, just give us your reaction to this nomination.
I think it's a nomination designed to put pressure on the Republicans. Obama could not have picked a more conciliatory, compromise kind of nominee. This is someone with a long history as a prosecutor, a judge on the D.C. Circuit, who has differentiated himself from his liberal colleagues, taken more centrist or conservative positions in a number of cases. It is not a pick that I think is going to galvanize the left and get the left really excited. I see already on my Twitter feed skepticism about Garland's record, particularly in criminal defense issues. And the fact that he's a 63-year-old white man also, I think, takes away from like the historic nature of Obama's previous picks, Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor.
And the possibility that people thought even up until this morning that he might nominate Sri Srinivasan, also from the D.C. Circuit Court, but he would have been the first Indian-American on the court. Emily, what about conservatives? Will they be scared away from somebody like Merrick Garland? This is a man that Orrin Hatch, who is a Republican senator on the Judiciary Committee, has said very nice things about in the past.
That's right. And so Obama puts pressure on them by making them seem like hypocrites. If Judge Garland was such a great guy a few years ago, what's wrong with him now? And why can't he at least have a hearing and go through the traditional nomination process, which the Republicans have said they're going to refuse to do? That is the play here. You know, whether it will really change the political calculus remains to be seen.
What do you think are his chances at this point of actually getting hearings on Capitol Hill?
You know, it will be hard for the Republicans to walk back their adamant expressions of, no, no, we are not going to, go through with this nomination. They've been extremely firm on that point. And if the polls have already shown that 2/3 of the American people think that Obama's nominee should be able to go through the regular hearing process. That does not so far seem to be moving the Republicans. And of course, you know, connected to all of this is this very wild Republican presidential primary race, which has thrown the party into turmoil on another front. And so the question here, one question, is whether Republican senators who are up for election in blue states, and there are 7 of those senators, are going to be at risk if they refuse to entertain this nomination, and if that will somehow change what Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has been saying about refusing to participate in this nomination.
And by the way, listeners, if you're hearing a little bit of trouble on the line there with Emily, it's because I guess President Obama did not give her a heads up that he was going to make this announcement today, and she's in Costa Rica at the moment, so we're speaking to her from Costa Rica. But Emily, what happens now in this process? What's the next step, and how long do you think it'll take before we know if Merrick Garland is going to be on the court or not?
You know, normally the next process is you go around, you shake hands with everyone in the Senate, and then they schedule hearings. That is what has happened every other Supreme Court nomination in my lifetime. This time, the Republicans say that it's not even clear they're willing to meet the president's choice, let him into their offices, and they have said there will be no hearing. So we don't have a script. You know, will the Republicans, will some of them open their doors? And if they won't, and if Charles Grassley, the senator in charge of the Judiciary Committee, really refuses to have hearings, then will the Democrats somehow try to hold their own mock hearings to give Judge Garland a way to be questioned and get out in front of the American people?
If Garland is confirmed, how does it change the balance of the court? Does it? Is there a swing voter at that point if it's him on the court instead of Scalia? Or are we just going to see a lot of 5-4 decisions going with the liberals?
It would be a different court than with Scalia for sure. Judge Garland would probably become the swing voter just based on his record on the D.C. Circuit. He's not, you know, a strident liberal by any means. And he likes to decide cases on narrow grounds. So we might see the left moving over a little to the middle to try to make sure to get his vote. I think he would be much more voting on the court's liberal wing, certainly, than Justice Scalia. And so in that sense, the court would move left. But it would not move left in some dramatic, passionate, exuberant way.
Emily Bazelon, a staff writer at The New York Times Magazine and a fellow at Yale Law School, talking with us about President Obama's nomination today for the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland. Emily, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.